Time now on our pregame show to visit with Brent Pulte, head coach of the Beavers. Brent, the most compelling question that I could come up with after last week's game in the mud was, who drew the short straw and had to do the laundry?
Yeah, we're going with alternative whites the rest of the year. They're a little bit duller color after that game, but our equipment guy Brent did a good job, had all the tubs ready to go, so it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Seriously, how do you grade out film in a game like that?
We honestly didn't. We watched about half the clips and just, it really wasn't football at that point. It was just lean on each other and try to not fall down. So we moved on pretty quickly after the game.
As a kid, everyone dreams of playing in a game like that or in a snowstorm. Crookston 2013, Duluth a couple of years ago in the snow this past Saturday. Quite honestly, they're not much fun, are they?
You know, for the first 5 minutes are pretty fun, or when you're warming up, the kids kind of get a kick out of it. But no, the weather games like that are difficult, and much rather play in the snow than compared to do that. But they both had their drawbacks. I mean, really both of them were that way. But I think the staff did a good job, particularly the offensive staff, just gas pipe in their game plan and just moving back to a, you know, if you want to say unconventional offense, we're just running the quarterback and just running north and south and just leaning on them. Our offensive line played awesome, so we were able to utilize that and able to run the ball.
In a game like that, is it harder to block offensively or harder to get off the ball defensively?
We struggled on defense. We just kept falling down. I mean, you look at their big plays and what they're able to do, you know, about four or five of their passes where guys just fell down, they were cut free, and so we very quickly got out of man coverage, played a lot of zone, and you know, tried to hunker in up front and not get pushed too much. But you know, going against a triple option team where they were just running quarterback ISO the entire game or a vast majority of it, so it was nice to be able to get the couple scores to kind of put it away. But they're a little bit more built for that stuff. They did a nice job. But in the second half, I thought we really rebounded and played well.
I realize the game made this a necessity, but can Jalen Fry and Jared Henning get that kind of workload all year long?
Yeah, we'll find out. You know, I don't think we can run our quarterback as much as we did in that game. Jared is a big, strong kid. I mean, he's 6'2", 6'3", whatever he is, 225 pounds. So he can handle it, and he dishes out a pretty big, you know, physical, you know, hitting standpoint. He'll get after it. But, you know, I don't really want our quarterbacks taking that many hits. But we'll see how things progress this week. But, no, I mean, I think Jalen's built more that way. We got to get Sherrod and Mikhail in the game more, too, and utilize their strengths. But we'll see. I'd love to be able to run the ball for 250 yards or whatever it was every game.
You hinted at it, but how good was that offensive line to have 200-yard carriers?
They played really well, given the conditions, and we had a couple snap issues, which everybody would have snap issues in that, but I think for the most part, they handled, I mean, it was an 8 or 9-man box, essentially the entirety of the game, so they were moving them really well. I think there's maybe only one or two plays that I felt like we got cross-faced where they did something good. It was more of, I mean, Jalen could have had 250 yards. He fell on one outside zone where I think he would have housed it, and there's another one that it was a pretty wide open seam that he just kind of stumbled and tripped, and so, you know, that part is yet to be seen if he can handle the physicality where, you know, if he gets 30 touches for 140 yards, so those are pretty tough games like we'll see this week against Duluth. So we'll see how he progresses. But, yeah, we got to rotate more guys in there and kind of spread the wealth a little bit.
How did they get over 200 yards passing?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't real thrilled about it, to be honest with you, Schulte, but it was tough conditions. You know, there's three or four plays in particular where they got chunk yardage. I think they had six for like 30 yards or each. So 180 of their passing yards came on six plays. One play, you know, they got the big 40 yarder. We were man coverage in the first half. Kid slipped. Our safety was a cap player, slipped, and he caught a slant for a touchdown. One, we had the kid wrapped up in the backfield. He flung it, you know, 30 yards downfield. We had two guys. Everybody went up. They caught it. And that's where I was. All of a sudden, I had flashbacks from 2013 when we lost over there because everything seemed to be going their way. But give them credit. They battled hard and handled a little bit better in the first half, I thought. And then, like I said, in the second half, I think we just kind of settled down and played just good old-fashioned football.
More with Coach Pulte when we return. Pregame show continues on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Pulte. Brent, earlier this week, I started replaying a few games in my head with Duluth over the last 6, 7, 8 years. Boy, there have been some doozies. What is it about them where they always seem to come out on the winning end of those really good, tight, close games?
Just they have a lot of talent. I think you go back to, you know, we take a lot of pride in our culture, and I think they do as well. I mean, they've been in the national playoffs. They've found ways to win close games. And I think that's, they just believe that that's going to be the outcome. I think on conversely on our side of the coin is we just got to do a better job of just taking a deep breath and go out and play the game. These kids don't know what happened 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 15 years ago, nor are we going to replay it. We will build back on and say, hey, a game here or there, we should have been able to, you know, I felt like a few of those games, we probably even had better teams. But they have found ways to win. And so we've done that to a lot of other teams too. So I think that with being said, let's just go out and play the game and let the chips fall where they may. And I think that's been the overwhelming, you know, theme for me as I met with the team on Sunday is like, hey, it's week four. We play Duluth. Let's just go out and have a party and get after it.
Going back to last year's game, and I realized last year was last year.
Mm-hmm.
How many times realistically did you think you had the game won last year?
I thought we had the game won in the third quarter. When we had the interception, we were handling their offense. I'm going to say our defense played really well that game. And I thought we rattled their quarterback a little bit in the first half. We got some shots on him in the first two series, got him on the ground. And to be honest with you, same thing happened last week. St. Cloud got after him pretty good. So I think he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league when he has time. And then when he can play street ball, he's phenomenal. But, you know, going back to that game, it just came down to one or two plays here or there. I talk about more so in that game, probably the 50-50 balls that we didn't come down with. I think still Jake Anderson may have scored over there. We didn't get a call, which they got some bad calls too in that game. That's not the official part, but we gotta leave no doubt on those plays. And, you know, lining out a big game last year, I fully expect that we're going to have to hit some plays over the top, and we got to find a way to run the ball. We could not run the ball against them at all last year, nor could anybody else in the country. But we got to find a way to at least have that be a threat for them, and then soften up the box by being able to throw the ball vertically. And that's how you got to beat Duluth. I think Moorhead showed that by hitting some big plays in the first half, and then you know, don't turn the ball over and try to stay away from negative plays.
Have you seen any new wrinkles out of them?
Yeah, I think on offense, they've done a really nice job adding on to their base package. They run a lot of creative sets. I always say they're one-offs. Like all of a sudden they'll shift. Like last week against St. Cloud, they shift their entire O-line over. Their tight end snapped the ball. It was a really odd set. They ran like a fumble rooski against us a couple years in the snow. So I think they have a lot of one-off, like two-point plays that they work on considerably, and they'll break those out. So they got a lot of gadgets. But I think the bigger part is that they just go from empty to double tight. They make you prepare for a ton of formations, which is oddly familiar because that's what we see every day out of our own offense. So, and I think their new offensive coordinator has brought some different wrinkles compared to when Noah was there. So a little bit different Duluth team, but yet the same, a lot of talent, physical O-line, and good players.
What is their strongest position group?
I think, in number one on offense, it's the quarterback. I mean, I think he's just a really gifted player. I like their receiving core. They got two kids that transferred up from Northwest Missouri State. I think they have other pieces there as well. Their O-line's a little bit younger, but they're still good football players. They've had game experience. I really like their fullback, number 33. He's a kid that has really developed into a he's basically a running back playing fullback. So, and their tight ends evolved nicely. Defensively, they're really good in the at safety, in my opinion. Their two, number three, number 11, are fantastic. I would say arguably the best two safety pair in the league. They fill downhill well. They cover a lot of space. And they're aggressive. They always have good linebackers and D linemen, and they play hard. So, I mean, typical Duluth team. They're really well coached and play fast and physical.
This is Shrine Week. What does this week mean to you? Been here for the bulk of the 23 Shrine games.
Yeah, I mean, it puts things in perspective, and we kind of had a fun story at the beginning of the week, or a fun event. We left on Sunday morning, actually, and got a bus from Bemidji Bus Line and tied it in kind of with the Shrine game, too. We ran over, and Hank Bellify's dad he's battling cancer, so they had a benefit for him over in Deer River. So we were able to run over there, and I think you need to look at football sometimes. It's always about, hey, did you win, did you lose, and all that. But it was a really cool event. I mean, to come in, they had an MC and they had all these silent auctions and everything else going on, but to put smiles on people's faces. And that's kind of a, a unique thing about football. And sometimes you read in the paper, it's always, you know, who got in trouble or who screwed up and this and that. But it was a really neat event. And then it ties back in with the Shrine Game. And I was able to be part of a Shrine Game when I was in Iowa growing up and seen it with a lot of our players that have played. And, you know, the some of the ones in the North Dakota has one, I think, still. And Montana, we got one in Iowa still, and some of the guys that we've had on the team. So when you go see those kids and see the smiles on their faces, it put into perspective, yeah, you might be sore, but you got to go play a game, you know. So it's a really fun event, and I appreciate the Shriners. They've done a remarkable job. And even going back when Coach Tesh and Coach Yonner probably first put it on, I think with Joe Don and some of the other guys, who would have thought they would have been doing it for 20-some years? And look at all the kids that it's really affected.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.